Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This one is sponsored by Audible, the world's top provider of downloadable audiobooks. And if you'd like to download a free audiobook of your choice as part of a 30-day trial with Audible, just go to audibletrial.com/teacherluke or click an Audible logo that you'll see on my website. Okay, good. Right then, so here's a new episode and here's the jingle. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. This is part two of an episode in which I'm talking about British accents that you hear in the Lord of the Rings films. And in part one of this, I went through as much commentary as I could give you about accents and about the different associations that we have with the accents for each character in these movies, all right? And so what we're going to do in this episode is actually listen to samples of speech from the film. The purpose of that is to sort of investigate and analyse the accents that you can hear, and hopefully this is going to help you to be able to identify different accents in English and get a greater sense of familiarity with the different regional accents. So remember, we're talking about regional accents, and then received pronunciation, and then high RP, or heightened received pronunciation. And in a very basic way, regional accents for sort of, I guess, a working class background. Then standard received pronunciation for a middle class background, and then a sort of posh accent, a heightened RP for upper-class background. Now, that's very simple, almost maybe a bit too reductive. Let's just start listening to some characters, and we'll see what they sound like. We're going to start with the Hobbits. So I'm now going to play you a recording of the Hobbits. I think we're going to start with Frodo. Let's see. Okay, so I found a scene between Frodo and Sam, and this is from the Fellowship of the Ring. This is where Frodo decides that he's going to go off on his own on a boat, and Sam chases after him to say, no, you can't do this on your own. I'm going to come with you. Okay, so let's have a little listen to that, and you're going to hear Sam's voice and Frodo's voice. So we're comparing the received pronunciation of Frodo with the sort of West Country accent of Sam. Now, bear in mind that both of these characters are being played by American actors. Elijah Wood and, what's his name, Sean Austin. They're both from the United States, and they're doing a pretty good job of copying the accents. I mean, to my ears, I can tell sometimes that they're American, especially Sean Austin at certain moments. But, you know, generally speaking, it's a pretty good indication of these accents. So let's hear Frodo and Sam, and let's see if you can identify or at least notice the differences in the accents.
No, no, no! Frodo!
Frodo! Frodo! Frodo! Frodo!
Mr. Frodo!
No, Sam.
Mr. Frodo! Right, now you can hear the West Country accent there. Mr. Frodo! Now I'd say Mr. Frodo. And Mr. Frodo! Mr. You hear the R sound? Mr. Frodo! Frodo! Mr. Frodo, sir! Mr. Frodo! Mr. Frodo! Right, can you hear the difference?
Go back, Sam!
Go back, Sam! There's that received pronunciation, that kind of English accent. Go back, Sam.
I'm going to Mordor alone.
Of course you...
I'm going to Mordor alone. Okay, I'm going to Mordor alone. Received pronunciation in a West Country accent. I'm going to Mordor alone. All right, I'm going to Mordor alone. And that would be Sam and Frodo. I'm going to Mordor alone. Okay.
Sam! I'm going to Mordor alone.
Of course you are. And I'm coming with you.
And I'm coming with you. Of course you are. And I'm coming with you, Master Frodo.
Right, that's Sam. Of course you are. And I'm coming with you. And Frodo would say, of course you are. And I'm coming with you. Okay.
Of course you are. You hear the R sound? And the vowel sounds are a bit different as well, aren't they, Master Frodo? I'm coming with you, Master Frodo.
Going to Mordor alone.
Of course you are. And I'm coming with you.
I'm coming with you.
You can't swim.
You can't swim. Now, that's a good one. Can't. Okay. Which is really that received pronunciation English accent. You can't swim. You can't swim. Ah, can't. Now, Sam would say, you can't swim, Master Frodo. You can't. You can't. And I'm saying, you can't. Okay. You can't swim, Master Frodo. In America, it's similar to a West Country accent. It'd be like, you can't swim. You can't. Can't. You can't swim. You can't swim, Master Frodo. You can't swim. And you can't. Ah. So, received pronunciation. Ah. You can't. West Country accent. Ah. You can't. And America, it sounds a bit like West Country, to be honest. You can't. Can't. Okay. You can't swim, Master Frodo. You can't swim. You can't swim.
Receive
pronunciation.
Sam!
Right, at this point, Sam is drowning. How do you drown in a West Country accent? I guess it's the same sound. You probably drown in it in the same way in every accent, right? Yeah. Okay, it makes no difference.
Sam!
All right, okay. He's going to be okay. So at this point, Sam is now drowning under the water. Oh, it's hilarious. It's a drowning scene. It's not that funny, really. That's funny. Okay, skip past that. Yes, and of course, you know, it's one of those movie cliches, this point, where Sam is under the water and... there's this sad music as he disappears under the water for ages. I mean, he's under the water for ages and ages and ages. I mean, in the real world, he would have been dead like ages ago, but he's under the water for ages and the whole audience is supposed to think, oh, right, that's it. He's dead then, is he? And then, of course, at the last minute, Frodo's hand appears from nowhere and pulls him out of the water. It's another one of those movie cliches. Start speaking English again. Here we go.
I made a promise, Mr. Frodo.
I made a promise, Mr. Frodo.
A promise. Don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee.
Don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee. Don't you leave him.
Don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee.
Samwise Gamgee. Don't you leave him.
And I don't mean to...
I don't mean to. Oi, not I. Oi.
I don't mean to.
I don't mean to.
Oh, Sam.
Oh my God, it's so sweet. Oh, it brings a tear to the eye. It really does. Oh, Sam.
Come on.
Come on. Oh, it's such a sweet film. Oh, I'm all right. Okay, so do you get the idea? So you can't swim, Sam. You can't swim, Master Frodo. All right, then. So that's Frodo, who speaks with that received pronunciation accent. I think what we're going to have now is some of the other hobbits. So let's see if I can find a clip of Pippin, who speaks with a Scottish accent. Here we go. Okay, I found a scene between Merry and Pippin, and this is a deleted scene from The Two Towers, and this is the moment where Merry and Pippin have got lost in the forest,
And they fell asleep in the forest. And I think that they were kind of rescued by Treebeard, which is this tree creature, this ancient tree creature. And Treebeard has basically looked after them and has given them a safe place to sleep. And he also fed them some of his special magic drink. I can't remember what it's called now. But they've drunk some of Treebeard's magic potion, and they're feeling really good, and they had a really good night of sleep. And you're going to hear Pippin talking about the dream he had last night. So imagine they've just woken up from a really beautiful deep sleep in the forest, and Pippin had a great dream about finding some weed and smoking some weed, apparently. You're going to hear Merry first saying, "Where is he?"
Hello?
That's Merry.
Treebeard? Where's he gone?
I had the loveliest dream last night.
Right, that's Pippin. I had the loveliest dream last night. I had the loveliest dream last night.
There was this large barrel.
There was this large barrel. So that's a Scottish accent you're hearing there, okay? I have to be precise. I'm not entirely sure which part of Scotland he comes from. I'm not very good at doing it either. I'm now looking on Wikipedia to see where Pippin comes from. And I'm searching for Pippin actor. All right. So Pippin actor, his name's Billy Boyd, not Tommy Boyd, Billy Boyd. All right. So where is Billy Boyd from? Let's have a look. Billy Boyd is a Scottish actor and singer. Yada, yada, yada. Where was he born? Born in Glasgow, Scotland. Okay. So he's from Glasgow. So that's a Glasgow accent that you're hearing in there from Billy Boyd in the Lord of the Rings films. Okay. Let's continue hearing Billy Boyd. I had a magical dream.
Where's he gone?
I had the loveliest dream last night.
Last night? Now, Nate, you hear that? Not last night. Last night?
There was this large barrel.
There was this large barrel. Now, the R sound is more noticeable there. Large barrel.
There was this large barrel full of pipeweed, and we smoked all of it. And then...
We smoked all of it. We smoked all of it. Not it, but it. We smoked all of it.
Pipeweed, and we smoked all of it. And then...
You were sick.
You were sick. That's quite clear. You were sick. So you can hear the R in were there. Now, with my English accent, my received pronunciation, I don't pronounce that R, so I would say you were sick. You were sick. But he goes, you were sick. Okay? You were sick. And it's not sick, but sick. You were sick. Okay? You were sick.
Then
you were sick.
I'd give anything for a whiff of old Toby.
I'd give anything for a whiff of old Toby. So he's talking about some pipe tobacco. Okay, so I think this means that Treebeard is about to arrive. So we're probably going to hear Treebeard's voice as well at this moment. So we've heard a bit of Pippin's Scottish accent. Merry is here as well. And Merry's from Stockport, which is near Manchester. So that's in England, northwest of England. So he's got sort of a fairly soft Manchester accent.
There it is again.
You can't really hear it that clearly.
It's not right here. You just said something tree-ish.
No. You just said something tree-ish. You can see, you can hear that he doesn't have a very strong Manchester accent. So it sounds, you know, not many regional inflections are noticeable there. You just said something tree-ish. He's saying that Pippin kind of burped and it sounded like, it sounded tree-ish. Because, you know, Pippin's been drinking this special magic potion, which is what the tree people drink. So maybe Pippin is sort of becoming a little bit tree-ish.
No, I didn't. I was just stretching.
No, I didn't. I was just stretching, he said.
You're taller.
You're taller.
Who?
You?
Than what?
Than me.
I've always been taller than you.
I've always been taller than you. You can hear the Scottish accent there, no? I've always been taller than you. You. I've always been taller than you. I've always been taller than you.
Pippin, everyone knows. I'm the tall one. You're the short one.
Now, the way Mary says one. Now, I say one like oh, and he says one. Everyone knows. I'm the tall one.
Pippin, everyone knows. I'm the tall one. You're the short one.
Please, Mary. You're what? 3 foot six at the...
Three. You hear that? You're what? 3 foot six? Three. There's the R in three, pronounced with that sort of rhotic R sound. I say three, and Pippin says three.
Please, Mary. You're what? 3 foot six at the most? Whereas me, I'm pushing 3'7". 3'8".
He keeps growing because he's been drinking the tree, special tree potion.
3'8". You did something.
Mary, don't drink it!
Right, so now Mary is drinking the potion because it's, you know, he wants to be taller too. And Pippin's going, don't drink it. Don't drink. Hear that? Don't drink it.
Mary!
I would say, don't drink it. And he's saying, don't drink it.
No, Pippin said that you should never eat something. He said, it could be dangerous.
Okay. We need more dialogue. Where's the dialogue? Okay, this is where Treebeard arrives.
Safe. The trees have grown wild and dangerous.
Ah, now Treebeard apparently has got... The trees have grown wild and dangerous. He sounds a bit Scottish.
Anger festers in their hearts. Black are their thoughts. Strong is their hate.
Also, his... kind of his sentence structure is a bit old-fashionedy. What is he saying? Black are their hearts, strong is their hate.
Anger festers in their hearts. Black are their thoughts.
Not their thoughts are black, but black are their thoughts. It seems that in Hollywood, if you want a character to have a sort of mystical old-world charm, you have to mess with the sentence structure. Like here, black are their hearts, strong is their hatred. And eventually you get Yoda, don't you? You know, black their hearts are. Just, if you want like real old world wisdom, you got to mess with the sentence structure completely. Put the verb at the end. Black their hearts are, strong their hatred is. So Treebeard is in danger of becoming a stereotypical old wise creature type character here.
Strong is their hate. They will harm you if they can. There are too few of us now.
There are too few of us now. Sounding Scottish.
Too few of us ants left to manage them.
Can't hear what you're saying, Treebeard.
Why are there so few of you when you've lived so long?
Why are there so few of you when you've lived so long?
Are there ant children?
Burrarum. There have been no entings for a terrible long count of years.
Difficult to hear what he's saying. But for me here, I think Treebeard, this ent, is such an ancient creature that he's speaking with sort of traces of that kind of rhotic R. And I think, again, this is something that you hear in the really oldest characters in Lord of the Rings. They have this kind of elvish accent. And I think this is probably the accent of the, you know, the oldest creatures. And, you know, you hear it in the high elves when they talk of Sauron, you know, like Elrond rolls his R's quite a lot. So rhotic R's, basically. And I think that this is probably because Tolkien took that from Celtic related languages like you know, Welsh, and from Nordic languages like, for example, Icelandic as well, which influenced him in his creation of Elven or High Elven. Okay, we're going to move on to hear some of the other characters. So that was we had Frodo and Sam. We had a bit of Merry and Pippin. Let's have some Boromir, shall we? Yeah, let's have a little bit of Boromir here. So I told you in the previous episode that Boromir is played by Sean Bean, who's from Sheffield in Yorkshire. So Boromir speaks with a Yorkshire accent, and let me just find some samples of Boromir. Okay, I found a scene from the Fellowship of the Ring, and this is where the Fellowship of the Ring all have a big meeting about what the hell they're going to do with the ring. And this is kind of a famous scene, because this is when Boromir utters that famous line, "One does not simply walk into Mordor," you know, that scene, which is now famous from the memes that you find all over the internet now. One does not simply, you know, one does not simply record an episode of the podcast about Lord of the Rings and accents, which kind of means it's difficult to do that. All right, anyway, you're going to hear Elrond speaking here at the beginning. And Elrond is extremely high-ranking elf. He's kind of like the king of the elves. And so Elrond speaks in this very sort of... it's very heightened RP, but with those elements of that elvish accent that Tolkien created, which is influenced by, as I said, things like Welsh and certain Nordic languages too. All right, so let's have a listen to that.
Only there can it be unmade. It must be taken deep into Mordor and cast back into the fiery chasm from whence it came.
So it must be taken deep into Mordor and thrown back into the fiery chasm from whence it came. So not only is there this old-fashioned received pronunciation in there, there's also the grammar of Elrond here, and that he's speaking in this old-fashioned register. It must be, cast back into the fiery what?
Be taken deep into Mordor and cast back into the fiery chasm from whence it came.
You mean we need to take it back to Mordor and throw it back into the volcano where it came from? It must be taken deep into Mordor and cast back into the fiery chasm from whence it came. From whence it came, meaning from where it came from, or where it came from. It must be thrown back into the fiery chasm. Chasm is like a big, basically a big crack in the ground. It must be thrown back into the deep fiery chasm from whence it came, or where it came from. Obviously, they're talking about the ring here and how they're going to destroy the ring.
One of you must do this.
And you see, no one is stepping forwards. Of course, like, we have to throw it into the huge volcano in Mordor, and one of you's got to do it. Sorry, I've got a lot of emails to respond to. I've got a wedding to go to. I can't make it. I'm really sorry. All right, but I think this is where Boromir then steps up and speaks, because Boromir's brave, and he's the sort of guy who, you know, wants to take action, and he's a man of action. So he's like, no, we should just throw it, you know, we should just use it. Why don't we use it? And this is where you hear Boromir speaking with that. It's a Sheffield accent. It's not really strong. It's kind of like received pronunciation, but with, inflections of his Yorkshire Sheffield accent. That's Sean Bean's accent. Here we go.
One does not simply walk into Mordor. Its black gates are guarded by more than just orcs. There is evil there that does not sleep.
Actually, what we're hearing there is Boromir speaking. I mean, that's received pronunciation. It really is. But every now and then you hear little hints of his Sheffield accent.
And the great eye is ever watchful. It is a barren wasteland, riddled with fire and ash and dust. The very air you breathe is a poisonous fume. Not with 10,000 men could you do this.
Not with 10,000 men could you do this. A little bit of his accent there.
It is folly.
Have you heard nothing, Lord Elrond?
Oh, all right. That's the end of the video. That's where Legolas stands up, and he's an elf, and so he's extremely posh. Have you heard nothing of what Lord Elrond has said? So in his full-on posh accent. I'm going to skip away from Lord of the Rings here and just try and find Sean Bean speaking in his normal voice. And this is a video entitled Why I Always Die in Movies. Let's hear...
Throughout his extensive TV career, his characters are known to die. In fact...
Right, that is the sound of Larry King, who's got this kind of he's got a Brooklyn accent, you know. He's like this old TV presenter from American television, and he speaks with a Brooklyn voice.
His characters are known to die. In fact, there is a website dedicated to your character's deaths called DontKillSeanBean.com. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Yep. The website's front page reads, Sean Bean dies in everything. Which is a shame because he is awesome. This blog is dedicated to ending the untimely deaths of Sean's characters in television and film.
Okay, wow. I mean, that's not a voice that you hear in Lord of the Rings, is it? Yeah, I come here to throw the... I've got this ring, okay? We've got to throw the ring into the mountain and then bada bing, bada boom, that's the end of the movie. I'm not sure that's Larry King, but that's a... Hey, that's a... In fact, that's a kind of an Italian-American guy. Anyway, it's a sort of a Brooklyn accent, you know what I mean? All right.
Help us save Sean Bean.
Oh, good. I didn't know about that.
Isn't that nice?
Right, there you go. Oh, good. I didn't know about that. I didn't know. There's that Sheffield accent. It's lovely, isn't it? I didn't know about that.
Promising, yeah.
Do you ever wonder why they kill you off?
I guess I used to play, and I still do play, a lot of bad guys and villains.
Can you hear that? I would say I used to play, and I still do play, a lot of bad guys and villains. I used to play, and I still do play, a lot of bad guys and villains. So not play, but play, play. You hear it?
I used to play, and I still do play, a lot of bad guys and villains and psychopaths. So I guess that's one of the reasons that...
Why do you think you get typecast that way?
I think I played a few at the beginning of my career. And I
played a few at the beginning of my career. At the beginning. Hear the g? I played a few at the beginning of my career. And I would say, I played a few at the beginning of my career. At the beginning of... The beginning of my career. I played a few at the beginning of my career. I played a few at the beginning of my career. Let's hear that again.
I played a few at the beginning of my career, and I was very good at them. And people, you know, really not hated me, but they hated me that much. And I think the studios thought that we've got to kill him and make...
People hated me. Hated. People hated me. Not hated, but hated. People hated me, and the studios thought, we've got to kill him. Kill him.
Which I think the studios thought that we've got to kill him. Not hated me, but they hated me that much that I think the studios thought that we've got to kill him and make sure he really is dead. You know, I did Patriot Games.
I did Patriot Games. That's the name of a film. I did Patriot Games, not Patriot Games. Patriot Games, that's how I'd say it. I did Patriot Games. It's a movie with Harrison Ford in it. And I think Sean Bean played a sort of a Irish terrorist in it.
Supposedly bad guy in that. And I shot the end of that three times because of Harrison Ford. He drowned me, and then I went back to England, and I flew back the next weekend. He drowned me again, but then he smashed something in my head that said that didn't work. So then I flew back again, and he killed me with a boat hook on a ship.
He killed me with a boat hook on a ship. A boat hook. That's a boat hook. You know, like a hook that you might use for fishing huge fish on a boat. Apparently, in the movie, Harrison Ford kills him with a boat hook. A boat hook. He killed me with a boat hook.
With a boat hook on a ship. And I think they were quite... They were quite sure that I was dead.
They were quite sure that I was dead then. All right, so that's Sean Bean. And I'd like to find some more examples of Sean Bean speaking in Lord of the Rings. Sean Bean accent, Lord Tutrings. That's not how he speaks. Okay, I've found a scene where Boromir picks up the ring. So Frodo has dropped the ring. You know, this is this powerful, evil ring that must be destroyed. And Frodo has dropped it on the side of a mountain because he fell over. And Boromir picks it up. Not directly. He doesn't touch the ring itself. He picks it up by the chain. And I think he gets seduced in this moment by the power, the evil power of the ring. The ring seduces him. And he sort of says a few words about the ring. So let's see if we can hear his accent here.
It is a strange fate that we should suffer so much fear and doubt over so small a thing.
It's a strange fate. Strange. Not strange, but strange.
Such a little thing.
Boromir! Give the ring to Frodo.
Again, not much dialogue. That's not really helping out. Let me just see if I can find a better one. Hold on. You know, I've decided to leave Boromir at this point. We've had enough of Boromir now. Let's move on to someone else, all right? And who should we have? Gandalf. Let's have a bit of Gandalf. I think he's probably my favourite character in the whole story. Right, I found the scene, which is where Gandalf goes to speak to Saruman the White. And so Gandalf is this wizard, and he's a good guy. You know, he's there trying to protect Middle Earth and trying to prevent Sauron, this evil demigod, from taking over the world and everything like that. So Gandalf is running around the place trying to fix everything. And there are other wizards as well in this world. There's basically three of them that we know of in the movie universe. There's Gandalf, and then there's Saruman, who wears white, and he's like the leader of the Wizard's Order. And there's another wizard called Radagast the Brown, who we don't really see very much of. Anyway, Gandalf is going to visit Saruman, and it's Saruman is his boss kind of thing. I mean, there's not a huge difference in their status, but Saruman is slightly higher in status than Gandalf is. Gandalf goes to visit him, and we learn, as Gandalf learns, that Saruman has kind of gone bad. He's sort of turned evil. He's been corrupted, seduced by the power of Sauron, who he's been sort of talking to using these special seeing stones. Okay, so we're going to hear this conversation between these two wizards, and this is proper thespian, Shakespearean received pronunciation. So you're going to hear like full heightened RP here in this conversation. Here we go. So we see Gandalf riding his horse towards Isengard, where Saruman lives, and we're going to hear a voiceover of Saruman talking while we see Gandalf riding.
Smoke rises from the Mountain of Doom. The hour grows late, and Gandalf the Grey rides to Isengard, seeking my counsel. For that is why you have come, is it not? My old friend.
Saruman.
Saruman. You hear that R? Saruman. Which is, again, that it's high received pronunciation. You might hear people rolling their R's like that. But it's also because Saruman is a word that was created by Tolkien, so it's sort of pronounced in that Tolkien elvish accent.
You are sure of this?
Beyond any doubt.
So the Ring of Power has been found.
All these long years it was in the Shire, under my very nose.
And yet you did not have the wit to see it. Your love of the Halfling's Leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
Your love of the Halfling's Leaf has clearly slowed your mind. Apparently Gandalf smokes a bit too much leaf, according to Saruman. And he's criticising Gandalf for not noticing that the ring had had moved to a certain location. Right.
But we still have time. Time enough to counter Sauron if we act quickly.
Time? What time do you think we have? Sauron has regained much of his former strength. He cannot yet take physical form, but his spirit has lost none of its potency.
His spirit has lost none of its potency. That's really posh-sounding English. And, I mean, I have to say, Christopher Lee, he died, what, last year, I think. Just a fantastic actor with such amazing presence and that wonderful voice. It's just a pleasure to listen to Christopher Lee.
Concealed within his fortress, the Lord of Mordor sees all. His gaze pierces cloud, shadow, earth, and flesh. You know of what I speak, Gandalf. A great eye, lidless, wreathed in flame.
A great eye, lidless, wreathed in flame. So he's talking about Sauron. Who in the stories is represented as like this eye, this all-seeing eye. It's really, you know, scary stuff. And this all-seeing eye, lidless, eyelids, you know, these are the bits of skin that go over your eye when you blink or when you close your eyes, your eyelids go over. So this Sauron is an all-seeing eye. It's lidless, wreathed in flame, meaning that there is flame around it. There's like a crown of fire around the eye. This is the really good stuff in Lord of the Rings, this is.
The Eye of Sauron. He is gathering all evil to him. Very soon he will have summoned an army great enough to launch an assault upon Middle-earth.
You know this?
Very soon. You hear that? Very. Not very. Very soon.
How?
I have seen it.
A Palantir is a dangerous tool, Saruman.
Why? Why should we fear to use it?
They are not all accounted for.
So they're now talking about the Palantir, which are these special stones that used to be used for people to be able to communicate with each other over long distances. It's like Skype for Lord of the Rings. It's like Middle Earth Skype, basically. Imagine the Middle Earth Skype in which the whole Skype system has been hacked by Sauron. Okay, so Gandalf is saying to Saruman, it's dangerous to use the Palantir because, you know, we don't know where they all are. And when you look inside one, we don't know who's looking at you. So it's a bit like saying, you know, you should probably cover up your webcam, Saruman, because Sauron might have hacked your computer and he might be influencing what you're doing, which is kind of what happened, really, in the film and in the book, of course.
The Lost Seeing Stones. We do not know who else may be watching.
The hour is later than you think.
Sauron's forces are already moving.
The Nine have left Minas Morgul.
Okay, so he's saying that, you know, the hour is already late. Sauron's forces are already moving. The Nine have left Minas Morgul, meaning that there are these Nine Riders, what are they called now? The Ring Wraiths who've been sent out. Okay, it's all getting a bit complicated. And if you're not a Lord of the Rings fan, you're probably thinking, what do you mean the nine Ring Wraiths? Read the books. I mean, God, they are fantastic. They really are. But a lot of the language is quite sort of complex and it's a bit highfalutin. You know, it's this sort of old school, high level, old fashioned English. But it's cracking stuff, it really is. So anyway, there you just heard a bit of Gandalf and Saruman talking to each other. I'm going to play the rest of that because it's just one of my favourite scenes. And it's just worth it because it's so well written and the actors are so great. Christopher Lee and Ian McKellen, they're just so great. So let's have a little listen to that.
And they crossed the River Isen on Midsummer's Eve. Disguised as riders in black.
They've reached the Shire.
They will find the ring. And kill
The one who carries it.
Frodo.
They will find the ring and kill the one who carries it. Pretty self-assured statement there. It's a statement of fact. Using will, of course. They will find the ring and kill the one who carries it. He's stating it as a fact. He's pretty confident, is Saruman.
He did not seriously think that a hobbit could contend with the will of Sauron. There are none who can.
So we've learned that he's saying that, you know, you don't seriously think that a hobbit could contend with the will of Sauron. There are none who can. Including you, Saruman. You can't contend with the will of Sauron either, can you? Because you've obviously been corrupted by him. Oh.
Against the power of Mordor, there can be no victory. We must join with him, Gandalf.
We must join with him, Gandalf. It's a great performance.
We must join with Sauron. Wise, my friend.
Tell me, friend, when did Saruman the Wise abandon reason for madness?
When did Saruman the Wise abandon reason for madness? Okay, that's high RP that you're hearing there. You know, spoken through the character of Gandalf, who is a character that we love. He's just brilliant. So all these attitudes about, you know, snobbishness about different accents and things, it's all subjective. And on an individual basis, you know, the way that you speak really shouldn't be something that you're judged for. What I'm saying is that Gandalf speaks in this posh accent, but obviously we love Gandalf. Now, there are people who speak with posh accents that we don't love as well. And there are stereotypes about posh people. There's a stigma attached to being posh to an extent. But in the case of Gandalf, obviously, we think he's absolutely fantastic. And this is when Gandalf and Saruman have a bit of a fight now. There's a kind of a bit of wizard kung fu, which definitely didn't happen in the books. But obviously in the movies, you know, you need like a bit of a fight sequence. It's pretty well done with them sort of like throwing each other around the room. But it definitely didn't happen in the books. And I think Saruman's going to say some pretty dark stuff here as well. Oh no, they're just throwing each other around. Yeah, I mean, one of the good things about the books is that all of these sorts of things are described, and there are no fight sequences between the wizards. Well, there are some moments where they engage in combat, but much of it is about the mental battle and the battle of words that they have with each other and stuff like that. It's really great. I think I'll probably just play a bit of Gimli now, because I told you about his accent before, Gimli scene. I'm going to search for that. Let's have a listen. All right, so I found one where Legolas and Gimli are talking to each other. And so Legolas and Gimli in the books are sort of rivals to an extent. There's a bit of backstory there between the two of them that they used to hate each other, basically, because elves and dwarves used to be at war with each other. But now they're united in the Fellowship of the Ring in order to try and defeat Sauron. So they've got like this friendly rivalry, which becomes like a really deep friendship later on in the story. And in the film, there's lots of time spent with them kind of comparing how many orcs they've killed. So here's a scene in which they're comparing the number of orcs they killed in the battle. Now, Gimli's accent kind of goes all over the place, to be honest. I think that really the actor who plays Gimli is Welsh, but I think he probably uses a lot of individual interpretation, probably on a scene-by-scene basis. The main thing, I think, is that the actor, I imagine the actor is trying to give Gimli a sort of a roughness and a sort of, like a kind of rough roughness, but warmth. Hello, I'm just interrupting myself here because since recording this episode, I just had a little look on the internet about articles about Gimli's accent. And I noted a few things. There seems to be a lot of disagreement about what his accent actually is. Some people are saying it's Scottish. For example, the Wikipedia article about Gimli states that the actor used a Scottish accent in the performance. And then other people are writing in forums and things that it's definitely not a Scottish accent. It's actually a Welsh accent. So in my personal opinion, it sounds kind of like sometimes a little bit Scottish, sometimes a bit Welsh. Now, maybe there are some Welsh accents that at times sound a bit Scottish. Also, I think the actor is adding in certain sort of individual character in there, making the accent sound very rough and very sort of gruff and all that kind of thing. Now, one thing, if he did choose to do a Welsh accent, maybe he was thinking about... In fact, I remember reading somewhere some time ago that the actor Jonathan Rhys-Davies, who is Welsh himself, decided that he would sort of add some Welsh tones in there in order to evoke certain things about certain things that he associates between the Welsh and the dwarves. And so the dwarves in Lord of the Rings are known as being pretty sort of rough and tough people. And also they are miners, meaning that they dig underground and they search for treasures, jewels and other things under the ground. So they dig and create these incredible palaces in mines and caves under the ground. So that's like the dwarves work with the rock and work with the stone a lot. And so I think the actor thought about Wales because there's a history of mining in Wales and there are these mining communities. And so we sort of associate this rough, strong Welsh accent with a kind of mining towns in Wales. And so, you know, that's the association I think that was being made there. We'll hear in a second that Gimli's accent sounds a bit Scottish. It sounds a bit Welsh. The point is it's like rough and you think of the mountains, you think of the rock and the stone and the sorts of people who spent their lives working in that kind of environment. And also Gimli himself as an individual is kind of, I don't know, he's got a quick temper and he's a bit angry at times. And so his voice sounds a bit rough like this, you know, he puts the roughness into his voice, so that, you know, literally a rough tone to sort of represent, you know, how we understand this character. Okay, back to the podcast. And so it at times it sounds like a strong Scottish accent, sometimes it sounds like a strong Welsh accent. Let's have a listen to it. So it's difficult to categorize, it's unique really.
Final count 42.
So that's Legolas, played by Orlando Bloom, and he speaks with received pronunciation because he's like a high elf.
42.
42 sounds really Scottish, actually. 42.
Oh, that's not bad for a...
Not
bad for a pointy-eared elvish princeling.
Now, pointy-eared, when he says that, it sounds Welsh. A pointy-eared...
That's not bad for a pointy-eared elvish princeling.
Pointy-eared elvish... not Elvis. Elvis isn't involved in this. A pointy-eared elvish princeling. Pointy-eared. That's quite Welsh. I'd say pointy-eared. Pointy-eared. Okay. Is this making any sense to you? I just know that you're probably confused because you really, it's hard for me to just explain it and break it down. You need to be familiar with it from, you know, from just experience. That's how you really get to know the different accents. You listen to different accents again and again. But, you know, this, I hope, might be helping a bit. But anyway, what's Gimli saying about that's not bad for a pointy-eared elvish princeling.
For a pointy-eared elvish princeling. I myself am sitting pretty on 43.
I myself are sitting pretty on 43. Really Scottish. I myself are sitting pretty. Sitting pretty on 43.
Three.
Three.
Sitting pretty on 43.
If you're sitting pretty, it means that you are in a good situation, basically.
43.
Oh, stop saying 43, Gimli. All right.
I myself am sitting pretty on 43. He was already dead.
He was twitching.
He was twitching? Because he's got my axe embedded in his nervous system.
He's got my axe. He's got my axe embedded in his nervous system. So, pretty Scottish, I think. He's got my axe embedded in his nervous system. He's got my axe embedded in his nervous system. He's got my axe embedded in his nervous system. Okay, so, yeah, Legolas is like, I got 42, and Gimli's going, I myself am sitting pretty on 43. And then Legolas notices that this orc is, like, still alive, or apparently twitching, and he shoots an arrow into the orc, and then he says, 43. And Gimli, I think, says, he was already dead. And Legolas says, he was twitching. And he says, because he's got my axe embedded in his nervous system. Again, not a scene that happened in the original book, but they always do that in movies. They always add these new things in, and it sort of spoils it a little bit. But anyway.
Sling. I myself am sitting pretty on 43. He was already dead.
He was twitching.
He was twitching? Because he's got my axe embedded in his nervous system.
He's got my axe. Not my axe, but my axe. And not embedded, but embedded. all right, then. We're going to just hear just one last set of accents, and that's the orcs. Okay. And so let's see if we can hear some of the orcs speaking, because... most of them speak with this kind of Cockney accent, don't they? They're naughty Cockney geezers, all of them are. Let's hear some orcs. Okay, this is a scene from The Two Towers, which is when Merry and Pippin get captured by a group of orcs. And orcs are basically the bad guys, you know, like the foot soldiers of Sauron. And so Merry and Pippin get captured by the orcs, and they're convinced that the orcs are going to kill them and eat them. And in fact, many of the orcs want to kill and eat them. But there's the leader of this group of orcs has been told that the hobbits have to be kept alive. Okay, so the order from Sauron is that the orcs, Sauron or Saruman? I think it's Saruman, actually. The order from Saruman is that the hobbits have to be kept alive. But lots of the other orcs want to kill them and eat them. So you're going to hear the orcs arguing with each other. Okay, here we go.
Raise the good whisper. Talk to each other. Even move.
I'm starving. We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days.
We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days. I'm starving. Right, I'm starving, meaning I'm really hungry. And then, we ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days. We haven't had... So, we ain't had is like we haven't had. So, this is sort of London, working class London Cockney accent, all right? We haven't had, or we haven't had. In fact, not we haven't had, but we ain't. We ain't had. Now, ain't, you hear that in lots of different accents. They say it in America as well, ain't. And ain't is basically like isn't, aren't, haven't, hasn't. All of those things can be just ain't like that. We ain't had nothing, which actually means we haven't had nothing, which actually means we haven't had anything, because double negatives are often used by Cockneys. We ain't had nothing. We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread. Maggoty bread. Maggoty bread. A maggot. Do you know what a maggot is? You know, a fly. When flies land on meat, for example, and they lay their eggs in the meat, the eggs hatch and they become these horrible white little worm things, crawly worms, maggots, and the maggots eat the decomposing flesh, and then eventually they turn into flies. Ugh, horrible. Right? Imagine, like, if you were so unlucky as to find a dead animal by the road, and you looked at it, and you might discover that there's maggots inside eating the animal. Ugh, oh, maggots! Ugh! We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days! We haven't had anything except... We haven't had anything but maggoty bread, so bread with maggots in it, for 3 stinking days, for 3 horrible days. We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days!
I'm starving. We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days!
This particular orc, although he's Cockney, he does actually pronounce the th sounds. Nothing. He does say, we ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3. So he is doing the th, because often Cockneys or people who speak with this strong London accent, they won't go 3, they'll go 3. So th sounds, th, get replaced by f or f sounds. But this one's not doing it. So we ain't had nothing, or we ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days. For 3 stinking days. All right, let's hear him one more time.
I'm starving.
Starving. You notice that he doesn't say starving with an ing, 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 like the sort of G sound, ing. Starving. He says starving. So the G is completely dropped off. I'm starving.
I'm starving. We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days.
Why can't we have some meat?
Why can't we have some meat? Why can't we? Why can't we have some meat?
And that's another horrible orc.
Why can't we have some meat?
Why can't, I would say. Why can't we have some meat?
Why can't we have some meat? Meat.
Not meat.
Why can't we have some meat?
Stinking days.
Why can't we have some meat?
Meat.
All right. He does actually say meat. Sometimes you drop the T, sometimes you don't. You know what I mean? Why can't we have some meat? But he sort of spits when he says T. And loads of spittle comes out of his mouth when he says it. It's disgusting.
Bread for
Why can't we have some meat?
3 stinking days.
Why can't we have some meat?
Meat.
And then he sees the hobbits.
What about them? They're fresh.
What about them? What about them? What about them? Meaning, what about them? What about them? They're fresh.
What about them? They're fresh.
They are not for eating.
They are not for eating. So this guy, this Uruk-hai orc, who's like the boss, the leader of this group, he doesn't speak with a full-on Cockney accent. They are not for eating. So he's got a bit more of the received pronunciation going on here because he's kind of a high-status orc. Let's hear him again. We'll hear more from this guy in a moment, I suppose, when they have an argument.
They're fresh.
They are not for eating.
What about their legs?
What about their legs? What about their legs? This guy's a proper little Cockney orc, isn't he? Proper naughty Cockney orc, this one. What about their legs? What about their legs then, eh? Can we have a little nibble on a leg?
What about their legs? They don't need those.
They don't need those.
Ooh, they look tasty.
Ooh, they look tasty, don't they? All right, then.
Bash them! The prisoners go to Saruman, alive and unspoiled.
The prisoners go to Saruman alive and unspoiled. So this guy's got a bit more, an accent that's a bit more like received pronunciation. You can hear it in the way that all of the sounds are sort of like kind of fully pronounced alive and unspoiled. So every consonant sound at the end of every word is like, you know, enunciated, which makes him sound like a theatrical actor. I'm a Shakespearean, theatrically trained actor. And that's why I've got this high status position in this group of horrible orcs. I personally disagree with the fact that I have to work with cockneys.
Alive? Why alive? Did I give good sport?
Did I give good sport?
They have something. An elvish weapon.
They have something. An elvish weapon.
Master wants it for the wall.
Master wants it for the war. Not the master wants it for the war, but the master wants it for the war. So that's the kind of received pronunciation.
I think we have the ring.
Shh! As soon as they find out we don't, we're dead.
Just a mouthful.
Just a mouthful. A mouth. Just a mouthful. Just a mouthful.
Oh, we're dead.
Just a mouthful. A bit off the flank.
A bit off the flank. The flank is the side, right? Just a mouthful. A bit off the flank. Meaning, just let's have a bit off the side. A bit off the flank. A bit. Not a bit, but a bit. All right.
Just a mouthful. A bit off the flank.
Oh, that one lost his head.
Looks like meat's back on the menu, boys.
Looks like meat's back on the menu, boys. And guess who they're going to eat? They're going to eat the body of the orc that the boss just killed. Oh, lovely.
Looks like meat's back on the menu, boys.
Okay, then, all right, so that was a little sample of some of the orcs there at the end, speaking with their Cockney accents like that. All right, then, now I'm feeling pretty hungry now. I'm feeling right hungry. I'm starving me. I ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days. Not really true. I had normal bread for breakfast. But it is my lunchtime now, and I think that's it for this episode. I could keep going with this forever. What you could do now is watch Lord of the Rings and consider the things that I've said and just notice the difference in the way that the characters all speak. You could sit down and watch the whole box set and enjoy it. Stick on the English subtitles when you're watching. Sometimes you could watch some bits with the English subtitles, watch some bits without, and enjoy the fantastic story and all of the special effects. And while you're doing it, just notice the differences in English and what those differences sort of seem to represent about the different characters as well. Okay. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. I wonder what you think of this one. I understand it's been a little bit chaotic, a little haphazard at times. But, you know, I just got the inspiration to do it today, and I typed out some preparation and some bits and pieces. To be honest, to prepare this one fully could have taken me days. And honestly, I think the result would have been pretty much the same. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed listening to it. Thanks very much for listening, as ever. And I look forward to hearing what you have to say about these couple of episodes that I've done. There's a lot more to say about accents, a lot more to explore. So I expect I'll be doing more of this kind of thing in the future. Including, for example, I wanted to do one in which we go into more detail about what a posh person really sounds like. And I thought of this idea, right, which is called Posh or Not Posh. And this is where, first of all, I tell you what you need to know about, you know, posh English and posh people and all the associations we have with them. And also going through a list of famous British people and asking you to try and identify if they're posh or not posh. And that would mean sort of telling you little bits from their Wikipedia biography and then maybe listening to a little bit of their speech and you have to try and guess if they're posh or not posh. I think that could be good. So I might be doing that one in an upcoming episode, along with lots of other stuff, you know, the usual things that you get from Luke's English Podcast. Thanks a lot for listening. Speak to you again soon. But for now, it's just time for me to say goodbye. Bye, bye, bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.